It's gonna be scary. Not for us.
All engine running. Liftoff.
To Hart on Thompson, steps right, shoots for the win of three. He got it! He got it!
This ain't my first rodeo.
Westbrook to the basket. Turns Schroeder around. Russell Westbrook.
House the three and the lead. You betcha.
Covington, biggest shot of the game, and he hits it. The corner.
PJ Tucker.
Gordon by
Gordon Ranch.
It's time to accomplish something together that we haven't accomplished before.
We both understand that we have one common goal, and that's to win a championship, so.
Let's get it.
What is up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin. You can catch me on Twitter at JT Gatlin. And of course, you can also catch our show on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. If you appreciate what we do here at Locked On Rockets, the guests, the speculation, the analysis, do me a favor, hit subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find your podcast, drop us a review, leave us some stars, and share the podcast on your social media. I would sincerely appreciate it. Quick shout out, because I know that I've been peddling for some extra reviews. So if you've missed it, my goal before the NBA season restarts is to try and hit 300 reviews on iTunes. And right now, I think the pod is at 253. I do want to give a quick shout out to Casey for one of the most flattering reviews that I've ever received. So thank you, Casey. I really, really appreciate that. I do read every single one of those. They mean a great deal to me, and it helps for the show, right? It helps with potential advertisers. It makes us look a little bit better, and it keeps the show rolling strong every single day. So for today's show, we've got a lot of breaking news to discuss. Now, originally, what I had planned to do was have this first segment open to kind of cover some of the news that was going on, and then more and more news kept piling in. So the back half of this show is going to be kind of a mini crash course in analytics. So I will be bringing on Ernest Silva from the Into the Lab podcast. And he is an analytics expert. He's going to help walk us through some of these advanced stats, kind of what the numbers behind the stats mean, how to use them in an argument. And, you know, I consider myself to have a working understanding of advanced statistics, but by no means do I consider myself an expert. And so I wanted to re-up on some of my knowledge and hopefully help you re-up on some of your knowledge as far as, you know, how these advanced stats work, what they really mean, and some of the conversations that go on regarding these advanced stats. So we'll get to that in just a second. But first, the big news. Fan favorite Isaiah Hartenstein is no longer a member of the Houston Rockets. And he is no longer a member of the Houston Rockets because the Rockets have signed David Nwaba for the remainder of the season and with a team option for next season. Now, David is a 6'5 kind of wing combo guard known for his defense. And look, I know a lot of people are going to be upset about Isaiah Hartenstein. I know that. And for good reason. He's a young, promising big that showed spurts of effectiveness in limited minutes, and there's the constant conversation of, well, why doesn't he ever get any playing time? And, you know, I think that this truly shows that they are really going in on small ball completely, and I think this is kind of a twofold thing. So one, the signing of David Nwaba means that they are looking at small ball past just this season. This isn't just a gamble for just this season. They are looking to, the Rockets are looking to continue the small ball trend past this season, which bodes well for Mike D'Antoni. Now, it's possible another coach could come in and replace MDA and still continue the small ball system. So they'd have to find somebody who would be willing to kind of incorporate that into whatever system they've already had in place. Or would they just have to find a coach that'd be willing to adopt the small ball system, seeing as how this is more or less the brainchild of Mike D'Antoni and Daryl Morey? So they'd have to get somebody on the same page as them. But I do think that this kind of bodes well for MDA. It looks good for his future in Houston if they are still committing to small ball for the long term. Now back to Nwaba. He is a guy who I went back and looked at his numbers, and this past season, before suffering an Achilles injury, which he's still out from, still rehabbing, so we won't get a chance to see him this season in a Rockets jersey. But before he went down to the Achilles injury, he was shooting 43% from behind the arc. Now, in fact, later on in this podcast, we'll be discussing, you know, sample sizes, but he's shooting 43% from behind the arc, but on a very, very small sample size. And another guy who was similar to that was Luke Mbamute. So, you know, a fan favorite, a lot of people will remember from the 17-18 season. Luke had a very small sample size when he was with the Clippers the year prior. He was shooting maybe, I think off the top of my head, it was 1.5 three-point attempts per game on about 39% shooting. And then he joined the Rockets, and he basically just about like doubled that to like 2.8 or something along those lines. And understandably so, his three-point percentage dropped a little bit down to about 36. But still, it's one of those where the sample wasn't quite large enough from Luke to really see what he was going to shoot in a Rocket system. But the fact that David was able to shoot, you know, 43%, granted on a small sample size, bodes well. The previous season where the sample size is much larger, he was like 32% from behind the arc. So I would imagine that would probably balance out somewhere in the middle around the 35-36% range. And if he can shoot 35 or 36% and be a phenomenal wing defender in addition to that, then that is a huge find for the Rockets. You know, he's 27 years old. He's on the younger end of the spectrum, so he adds a little bit more youth to an older Rockets roster. And above all else, you know, he was one of the best defenders on James Harden in limited minutes this past season. I think a friend of the pod, Disney Gary Clark, he shared a statistic showing that James, you know, that David Ndwaba was like the fifth best isolation defender on James Harden or something to that effect this past season. So, you know, and then another friend of the pod who will be joining us later this week, Ali Kambijani, actually posted a video to his Rockets Film Room YouTube channel, which you should absolutely go subscribe to, showing it's a highlight reel of David Ndwaba's defense. So definitely go check that out. Absolutely worth the watch. So that is kind of the big news, is that the Rockets have dropped Hartenstein and have signed on a future prospect in David Ndwaba. And that is big because it really does show that they are fully committed to the small ball system, to the small ball era of Houston Rockets basketball. And a couple other big kind of breaking news things that do affect the Rockets. Well, one definitely affects the Rockets. One is something the Rockets have to worry about. So Nikola Jokic tested positive for COVID-19. Now, this is something that the NBA knew was going to happen, is that NBA players were going to start testing positive as they started to try and get players back in their markets and then trying to get players over to Disney. Like, that's something that was bound to happen. Now, I don't think they were expecting, you know, superstars like Jokic to start testing positive, because imagine if suddenly, you know, Russ or James tested positive, that would be a train wreck. And granted, they're not playing right now, so it's not as big of a deal right now. But imagine a month from now, as they're getting ready to tip off the resumption of the season and multiple players come down with COVID. I laid out the ground rules in an earlier podcast explaining that a player has to quarantine for 10 to 14 days, has to return not one but two negative test results before they're able to rejoin their teams. This is a big thing. This is something that is going to impact these playoffs and the rest of the season if they move forward with it, which, you know, they're still planning to move forward with it, but this is a hurdle that teams will have to jump through. If a player gets COVID, they're going to have to quarantine and they will be without this player. It'll be the same thing as if a player were to be injured, right? You're going to have to struggle without said player until they return. The only difference is it's, you know, a short-lived injury, so to speak, is they will be gone for 10 to 14 days. But there are lingering effects from COVID, like it can have permanent damage to your lungs and all sorts of other bad side effects. So, you know, I completely understand where players are coming from if they don't want to play in the bubble, if they don't want to risk it, if they would prefer to continue quarantining, which leads me to my next point. Avery Bradley has chosen to resign from the remainder of the NBA season, or withdraw would be a better word. He's not resigning. So he has withdrawn himself from the rest of the NBA season. And it's because I believe one of his children has a heart condition or something to that effect. So good for Avery Bradley for putting his family first. And I commend him for that. Now back to the basketball side of things. This is huge for the Rockets because Avery Bradley is arguably the best, maybe just the second best perimeter defender behind Danny Green on the LA Lakers. And now he's gone. The LA Lakers, a team that has to find a way to somehow deal with both James Harden and Russell Westbrook, two of the best perimeter players, if not the best perimeter players in the league. And suddenly they just lost one of their best defenders. Like the thought of Danny Green chasing around one of them, yeah, but then Avery Bradley chasing around the second one, it's a little frustrating. You know, they have to deal with two two elite perimeter defenders. There we go. I kind of was stuck between perimeter defenders and premier defenders, and I don't know why. Anyways, they had two of those guys to throw at both James and Russ for a full 36 to 42 minutes during a playoff game, right? Now they don't have that. Their next best perimeter defender is going to probably be Rajon Rondo. And picturing him trying to chase around one of Russ or Harden is, let's use Russ. It's, you know, cotton shot, you know, his eyes get big. Like I'm fully expecting the Lakers to, and they already, it showed that they already struggled defending Russ the first time that small ball came to Los Angeles. That first game in LA with Robert Covington, his debut game, Russ went off. And that's because partially because they spent so much of the game focusing on James Harden, but also because they just didn't have the personnel to really slow down both of those players. So when you're trying to deal with James Harden over here and then you don't give the attention to Russ, I think it was Michael Malone, Denver Nuggets head coach, who said something about the fact that, you know, you spend so much attention on the one MVP and you forget they have a second MVP on the other side of the court. And that's exactly what the Rocket system is if you put too much focus on one of the two guys, then the other guy should go off and have a huge game. Keyword being should, because obviously sometimes Russ will struggle or sometimes James will struggle. Nobody's perfect. But in a perfect scenario, in a perfect world scenario, if James is getting doubled all game, then Russ should have a huge night. If Russ is getting hammered in the lane and, you know, if they're focusing their defense on, you know, closing off driving lanes so he can't be as effective, then James should have a big night being able to operate in isolation. So I'm looking forward to that, because that is honestly a big weight lifted, should be a big weight lifted off of Rockets fans' shoulders, worrying about having to go up against one of the Clippers or the Lakers. I already thought the Lakers was a more favorable matchup, and now I'm even more so in that boat. The Lakers are absolutely a favorable matchup for the Rockets, and if somebody else could knock off the Clippers before the Rockets have to face them, that would be huge. Now, coming up, we will segment into our analytics kind of breakdown, our little crash course, our mini crash course in analytics. But first, I have a quick message from everybody here at Locked On. The Locked On Podcast Network stands against racism and social injustice. That's why we, the hosts, are making personal donations to local and national organizations that are fighting for change. And in the month of June, Locked On is matching the total of all host donations up to an additional $10,000. To make your own donation along with us, please visit lockedonpodcast.com/Black Lives Matter. Quick word from our friends over at Magic Spoon. So I've been trying to cut down on, and a keyword being trying, right? Because everybody tries, trying to cut down on like my carbs, sugars, and kind of the unhealthy food that I eat. And you know, you slowly start to realize, oh man, can't eat anything anymore. Everything's got some level of, you know, bad stuff in it, whether it's sugars or carbs. And, you know, I got turned on to this cereal, Magic Spoon. It has zero sugar, 12 grams of protein, which is awesome for cereal, and only 3 grams of net carbs in each serving. They've got 4 awesome flavors: cocoa, fruity, frosted, my favorite, blueberry. I mean, they taste amazing. They're honestly, it's too good to be true, a cereal that isn't like jam-packed with sugar and carbs. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. I don't know how many more frees we can throw in there. I think that's all of them. But right now, you can try this out too. If any of those flavors sound good to you, if you want to try a cereal that is, you know, keto friendly and low carb, you can go to magicspoon.com/MBA to grab a variety pack, try all 4 flavors, and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code MBA at checkout to get free shipping. And here's the thing, Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. And here's the thing, I don't think you're having an issue with that because it's delicious, so there's that. There's magic, so that's it. Go to magicspoon.com/MBA and use the code MBA for free shipping. We thank Magic Spoon for sponsoring this podcast. And we are back in here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. About to chat with Ernest Silva of the Into the Lab podcast. So, Ernest, first off, thank you for joining us on the pod today, man.
No, I'm absolutely thrilled to be a part of it, part of the show.
So first things first, before we dive into it, because we got to get a little bit of your background and we got to, you know, we're gonna lay out this part one, part two for the listeners. But first things first, how was your birthday, man? For those of you that don't know, my birthday is June 21st, as is Ernest's birthday. So now, so we had, you know, similar, same birthday. How was yours, man?
It was ecstatic. I went down to South Padre Island, had a good time with some friends, family, isolated, of course, but had a good time coming down, crashing from the high, right back to the real world and the grind. So, but yeah, I had a really good birthday. How was yours?
Honestly, great. I had a pretty chill day. Obviously a lot of social distancing involved, a lot of wearing masks, but no, I spent the day with my father, you know, cause it was also Father's Day, which is pretty unique. I said it on the Twitter, on the bird the other day that, you know, every few years my birthday lands on Father's Day, as does yours. So mm-hmm. I imagine there's some family stuff that goes on there as well. But, you know, pretty cool day. Played some board games, had some papados for dinner. It was pretty awesome all in all.
That sounds good.
So basically our vision for today's episode is I personally have a working knowledge of analytics, of advanced stats. And, you know, I wouldn't consider myself an expert by any stretch of the imagination, but I have a working foundational knowledge for it. And as do many of our listeners, but I want to take a moment to kind of drag things back a little bit, kind of rewind a little bit and start from the bottom and work our way up and kind of roll through some of these advanced stats and kind of have this refresher course before we get back to the NBA season. So that way people who do, you know, because there's people all across Twitter and other social media, you know, they throw around these advanced, oh, true shooting this and net rating that. But I don't know if everybody has a firm grasp of what some of those concepts are. So I do want to break those down. But before we get to that, Ernest, I want to know your background and what got you into an analytics focused podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. So for those not familiar with my podcast, it's Into the Lab podcast, part of the Blue Collar Media Group's network, but a fantastic podcast that really focuses on the numbers, a lot of fantasy football or fantasy basketball breakdowns when there are sports going on, of course. My focus got into analytics at an early age. I blame NBA 2K and those NCAA college games for getting me into numbers. That really is what broke me down into understanding, okay, so why are we putting ratings on players? And then I found out you can really break down stats in sports. And so the geek turned into a sports geek and just kind of rolled from there. That's what I'm almost finishing my PhD in is sports analytics. So I'm an almost expert sports analytics in general. But I should be finishing in December of this year. So having that doctor title would hopefully put me towards the front line of being an expert in sports analytics and some other elements of the game. But that's really where my focus came from, is from the very early developments of video gaming or the early mindset of esports, and then evolving into looking at team rosters, why my Houston Rockets were not picking the best stars all the time and going for these random guys that like to be 3-and-D or like to be 3-point heavy. And then, of course, the introduction of Daryl Morey to the Houston Rockets during my fandom turned into basically becoming the Houston Rockets person for different media groups and what I'm doing today. So it just kind of sparked my interest, and that's my regular thing.
Exactly. I mean, the Rockets are easily the team that is at the forefront of the analytics movement in the NBA. So it's been kind of nice having Daryl to be the general manager of your hometown team, huh?
It really does. To have Daryl be such a proponent and be a part of that backing, it really helps. I attend the Sports Analytics Conference annually, so a lot of great minds I've you know, gone back and forth with, debated. The whole 3-versus-2, which we'll talk about later, is always a big debate and a fun topic with people who are general basketball fans. But really coming in with the numbers, it's a huge aspect, and I hope we can convince some people today on the episode as to why.
Absolutely. That's our goal today. So kind of transitioning along, first things first, why should everyday fans care about analytics? I'll let you take this.
So I look at analytics, especially with the human side of things, because it shouldn't be the see-all, tell-all of how sports rosters are put together. And since we're on basketball itself, it should be the foundation, though. You should have a base as to what you're trying to accomplish, what your general chemistry is going to be, And the term chemistry, people immediately think, oh, personalities and how do people get along? But chemistry really as to tendencies and usage on the floor and what you're trying to get out as your offensive output and your defensive input and how those can mesh and what rosters and you know group of players that you can have on the floor that make the most sense to give you the best output. That's kind of where analytics come into play and dissecting what a player can do on the floor in similar systems. That's where analytics really fold in basketball.
So for example, like let's look at the Rockets really quick, right? And they've got James Harden, who is far and above, you know, analytics favor him greatly. You know, he is, when you look at the numbers, his true shooting is usually off the charts because he has completely, ever since coming to Houston, bought into the Daryl Morey system of basketball, which focuses on layups, dunks, free throws, and three-pointers. So he is, you know, all but completely eliminated the mid-range from his game. And then you have another guy, his Robin now in Russell Westbrook, who is more or less, let's face it, he's kind of an analytics nightmare. The advanced numbers do not favor Russell Westbrook right. hardly ever. So what does that tell you about those two stars and their style of play?
If you kind of break down the numbers, Russell Westbrook leads the league in advanced analytics in pace of play and what those numbers are. If you put the numbers over a certain pace in the league, he's in the top 10, but you're right. He's in the top 40. If you think of overall general numbers for advanced analytics for Russell Westbrook. But I think the way that Mike D'Antoni has bought into Daryl Morey's scheme and vice versa, putting Russ on the floor, running a team, running him up and down is kind of when he has the ball in his hand and when he can take advantage of when the analytics and then when the stats go higher and when James is on the floor, he really has the ball in his hand and leads the offense in the half court game. But you know, you have the absolutely right mindset, right? For in that Batman A, Batman B, I won't call him Robin, but Batman A, Batman B.
That's fair. I appreciate that. Batman A, Batman B. That's a good clarification. I appreciate that.
They work well together. And the Rockets did a test to this when they had Chris Paul. James and Chris, although on the floor, they shared a half of the floor and James Harden would run the pick and roll with Clint Capella. That was their bread and butter. And then, or Chris would run the pick and roll on his side or run a half court set. And they wouldn't necessarily be a part of the play, but they would be the option B for that play as a bailout. And so that is the same thing they're running with Russ, except we all know the Russell Westbrook experiment where he was just shooting threes in the beginning of the year didn't work out for the Houston Rockets, as well as we all thought that he would just go in and maybe take some of those mid-range a little bit more or go to the basket because the numbers break down that way. But he, you know, he get that open green light. It's Mike D'Antoni's world. He's going to take them. So, but yeah, not to get too much in the weeds, but yes. Yeah, so it's just a matter of player. I'll give you another just off the set example before we move on, but Ryan Anderson is a phenomenal analytic player. His size, how many rebounds he gets a game, to his shooting, true shooting percentage from the outside, and just his player efficiency rating is just so high that it's hard to get rid of him on a roster. I think he even came on this team for a couple of games. So that is it's a very hard person to get rid of. So that's just one example of just a bad analytics person that can get you stuck.
Absolutely. Well, and in fact, speaking of the player efficiency rating, that's what we want to lead off with in our next segment as we start breaking down stats. So we will get there in just 1 second after a quick word from our friends over at Blinkist. So when I'm not listening to other podcasts and kind of, you know, experiencing the rest of the podcast domain, so to speak, this app, Blinkist, is basically my secret weapon for learning new things. You know, it's really unique. It works on your phone, your tablet, or even your web browser. It takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books and condenses them down into just 15 minutes that you can listen to. It's great for when you're driving around running errands or if you're, you know, working out, whether it's down at the gym or in your apartment, in your home, whatever it may be. Even if you're just lounging on the couch, the same way that you might listen to a podcast, you could check out Blinkist. And with Blinkist, you get an unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want, and all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. You can go to Blinkist.com/MBA, try it free for 7 days, and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/MBA to start your free 7-day trial. And you'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/MBA. And we are back in here for our final segment at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, chatting with advanced stats expert Ernest Silva of the Into the Lab podcast. So Ernest, as we kind of tease there at the end of the last segment, let's start with of these stats that I have cherry-picked from us, of these advanced stats, let's start with the first one, player efficiency rating. So kind of break that down for us, what it means, what it entails, and how to kind of better understand that stat.
So PER is what you'll just hear them say on TV, and they're really talking about player efficiency rating, but it's basically if you want to win an argument in a restaurant, it's basically taking the good stats of what a player brings to the table, field goals made, assists, rebounds, blocks, steals, everything, and then all the bad aspects, missed shots, turnovers, fouls, and making that into a ratio. So you want to be top heavy with the good stats to the bad stats, obviously. And in a league, you basically put that number of that ratio against the league average. So the league average for the NBA is 15. And so if you are rating, okay, how does my roster look for tonight's game? And you see James Harden had a PER of 22.5 and Russ had a PER usually like 13 or 12. It's just because they have the ball so much and there's so many different mistakes they can make. That's usually why that's why his stats usually go down. But you'll see players like PJ Tucker might have a PER of 16 or 17. And that's really what they're weighing is the good stats versus the bad stats. Clint Capella was a PER machine. He would, with his 20-20 nights and his average being 20 points, 12 rebounds a game, he is like a PER dream because for a big down low, he would get the job done. So on paper, that's really what you're looking at. So if you're ever looking at your roster, that's what your player efficiency rating is at a very general level, is the good against the bad, and if that ratio is high enough on the roster. Yep.
So kind of looking down the Rockets roster from this past season before everything was suspended due to the COVID-19 hiatus, there are a few guys that kind of trend above that that 15 PER kind of milestone. So you've got James Harden sitting at 28.4, Russell Westbrook at 21.5, Clint Capella, as you mentioned, 20.7. And then surprisingly, you've got some guys like Isaiah Hartenstein, 18.7, Jeff Green with a 20, and then even another guy, Bruno Caboclo, with a 23.6. So I guess that's something to take into consideration when you're looking at some of these advanced stats, right? Is just you have to look at sample size, because those right. last few names on that list have very limited minutes with the Rockets, so you can't really trust that sample size. Now, what would be a fair sample size before you start really taking these advanced stats without a grain of salt?
You would probably be looking at the halfway point. So 35 to 40 games is where usual NBA GMs or front offices are looking. Okay, this is a true number to what they're bringing to the table. That's when you start looking at weighted PERs, not something you really talk about on TV, but you start looking at weighted PERs. Like, obviously, Daryl Morey's not going to approach Mike D'Antoni and say, look, Bruno Caboclo, he has a 23.6 PER. He obviously needs to be on the floor. I mean, it would just say he's only played 5 games. So you would really have to start dissecting. If you looked at the roster this year, you see PJ Tucker is actually 18th on the team. So really, the numbers don't do everything, but we're going to get into that defensive conversation later. Because I'm glad we're going to talk about it, because I was going to bring it up anyways. But you do have some variables in there that you have to look out for, because obviously analytics is not everything. It is the foundation where you're making your choice. But you, with players like you mentioned, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Clint Capella, Isaiah Hartenstein, and even Robert Covington to a degree, you would say I could probably predict that output's going to continue forward, just needs more games for some of the latter.
That makes a great deal of sense. Now, it kind of, and just like we'll get to the defensive stuff in just a minute, we also, I do want to visit on the kind of arguing eye test versus numbers later on. So we'll be sure to get some of that as well. Now, absolutely. The next stat that I have on this list is a stat that is probably the most dominant advanced stat that gets thrown around, honestly, when you think about it, is true shooting. Mm-hmm. So that's one that gets used in every argument everywhere. You see a Twitter argument, that true shooting stat is going to pop up at some point. So let's break this one down.
Yep. So true shooting involves not only the field goals that you're having on the floor, but also including the attempts you've made as for shooting, as well as your free throw attempts. So you look at how many points total a player has made. So I like to use James Harden because this is the stat king of the NBA right now. But James Harden always has a high true shooting percentage because of
the amount. Hang on, really quick. You don't have to put that disclaimer on. You can just say he's the king of the NBA. It's okay.
Oh,
He's okay. The real King James. It's okay.
He is the King James. He is absolutely monster if you look at all advanced stats, even some of the defensive ones, which is a controversy. But you know, James Harden, he takes 8.9 to 10.2 free throw attempts for his career with the Rockets at any given year. He continues to increase that ability to get to the line, which in turn keeps increasing his true shooting percentage, because that the more free throws you get, the more points you're going to be scoring. So as long as James Harden continues to score at such a high level, even hitting from the free throw line, which is why analysts like Skip Bayless and others who are very big about the numbers will say it's so difficult to make 8 out of 9, 10 out of 11, 12 out of 12 at the free throw line, because it continues that shooting percentage. But basically, you put the total amount of points that you have for the game, you multiply your true shooting attempts, which is your field goal attempts from the floor, as well as your free throw attempts, times 2, and you make that divisible. So points over 2 times your true shooting attempts. And that's really kind of the basis of true shooting percentage. When you're looking at players that have high volume, they'll have a much higher true shooting percentage because of the amount of times you're able to get to the line. But for shooters who stick around the three-point line, which is a lot of what the Houston Rockets run, who don't exactly get to the free throw line either, you'll see those true shooting percentages kind of drop because they're not having the ball in their hands as much. So when you pull them from other systems and plug them in, you may see that true shooting percentage go down a little bit, but it's just a method of the madness to what the Houston Rockets like to do.
So this is a stat that I actually didn't really have on our list, but I figured it would come up kind of naturally as we're talking about true shooting percentage. There's the other one, effective field goal percentage, which is just the combination of your two-point field goals and your three-point field goals. Is there an area where there could be an argument where you would rather look at effective field goal percentage as opposed to true shooting percentage in an argument?
It's going to be skewed a bit for the big men. I think we look at effective field goal percentage because they'll get the ball within 6 feet of the rim or within 8 feet of the rim. So they're going to naturally have a higher effective field goal percentage. And some GMs and some analysts like to say, okay, if when I'm just going to be looking at the big men, then I'm going to go ahead and see, okay, when they have the ball in their hands, how many are they making? Are they finishing around the rim? That was a big part of what Clint Capela lacked in the beginning of his career. He was young. He didn't have the ability to finish. He didn't have the touch sometimes. And so after a while, he got the finesse a little bit more down with Harden, and the alley-oop finishes really pushed that up. And so you can make an argument Clint was probably one of the best effective field goal percentage shooters. I think there was a time there where he went on a streak without missing. I don't remember what the number was, but it was amazing. So all around shooting game, I would still stick to true shooting. Effective field goal percentage, not so much.
Okay, good deal. And the last pair of stats that I want to hit before we get out of here from this part one and before we head into part two of this podcast is offensive and defensive efficiency.
So these are the fun ones, because offensive efficiency, you can imagine, is so focused on your total points over your number of possessions. That's really the equation you're looking at, total. So total points, self-explanatory, but number of possessions, that's your field goal attempts minus your offensive rebounds plus turnovers plus free throw attempts at a 40% mark. And you calculate all of that, you put your points over that, and that really comes out with what your offensive efficiency is. Whatever that number is, it'll be a decimal. You multiply that times 100, and that is what's going to be the offensive efficiency rating that you have. And so that's the number that's kind of tied to your offensive efficiency rating. Then you take all those together and you get your team offensive efficiency rating. The reason I say the offensive one's a little bit easier is because all those stats are findable. It's all listed. You can find the numbers online. You can look at the box sheet, the box score, and you can see that. On the defensive side, though, it's the same thing, just opposite. So whoever you're guarding, if whatever their is counts against you to your total points that are allowed. And that's a little bit more difficult because you add in the variables of like a PJ Tucker or Trevor Ariza, some of those lockdown defenders, Robert Covington, and they're playing guys that are usually the 2-star, the 3-star, sometimes in PJ and Trevor's case, the number 1-star, and they will get scored all over, or they will have such a tremendous impact and weather down the main player all game. But that's not really seen. There's no stat for amount of time in front of somebody and guarding them, amount of distance between you and a defender. Nobody tracks that currently. And I think that's where they're going for the defensive side, is that we'll start looking at distance and pressure pressure and getting those stats into defensive efficiency. Because right now, players like James Harden and Russell Westbrook, who bump up the blocks and steals in the game, would be in the top 30% for defensive efficiency. But as you know, probably not playing 1-2 stars all the time. And so how do you make that determination right now on the defensive side? It's difficult. The foundation for sports analysts on the defensive side is very low compared to the offensive side.
And those breakdowns for offensive and defensive efficiency, those are still the same even when they break, when they are slimmed down to an individual basis, correct? Just player by player, it's still the same formula?
That's correct. And everything is weighted. So as you're trying to calculate your teams, you make sure that the weighted amount of games per the roster players are also into effect. So, right, I wouldn't be calculating the same number for Harden, Westbrook, and PJ Tucker this year because the game differences are definitely there. So I would set a base somewhere at 45 games or 35 games and then weigh them there. And that would be the rating.
And just to clarify, so would that be something along similar lines of when you look at, say, like per 36 stats to kind of get a baseline idea of what somebody else's stats would look like when you're comparing two players?
That is correct. So it wouldn't be true to what they're giving right now, but if you were to modify it to where you're doing it at an even level, that would be the exact same thing.
Okay, great deal. All right. Well, as I think that's a good place to kind of end this part one podcast. And before we get you out of here and then get to our part two, go ahead and let everybody know where they can find your content at.
Yeah, absolutely. So currently right now I'm the Houston Rockets troublemaker on Into the Lab podcast. I am the true analytics guru there for Houston Rockets basketball. I absolutely love going over and fighting against everybody who hate it. So it's been wonderful. But Into the Lab podcast is where you'll find us live on Thursday nights. We release episodes Friday morning. We're having a special Dynasty draft this Saturday, so it's one of those rare occasions that won't be true. But you can follow me at the Sport Gene on all social platforms. We also have a website that's currently on pause, getting revamped, to www.thesportgene.com. But we're always there, and I'm always just a DM or message away if you ever want to come on, especially to one of our home and home trivia segments where we give everybody a chance to win a gift card if you can beat the sports IQ like Jackson and I.
Well, in fact, you're definitely going to want to check out this Thursday's show because I will be joining Ernest on Into the Lab. So definitely want to be there this week as we are doing our little home and home here at Locked On Rockets and then over at Into the Lab. So don't want to miss that. But as for today's episode, thank you so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.